Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
It says here to take two for results in 8 hours. That means we should take eight for results in two. Yep.
With Dusty Hera.
Can't see the line, can you, Russ?
No. And Cam Cleland.
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
People don't forget.
The Fan.
All right, just after 7 a.m., Dusty here, Cam Cleland with you live at the Winco Foods Portland Open, presented by Kraft Heinz, out at Pumpkin Ridge Golf Course. The guys are gearing up to play the Witch Hollow course. The private side.
You know what's amazing about every single one of these guys? Because we're right here by the practice green.
It's a web.com tour, by the way.
Yes. And every single one of them, I love golf, by the way. It's my number one sport.
We know.
That I can still compete in. And now I love football and basketball and baseball. But golf is just... I'm addicted. I probably take 500 swings a day.
Can we go over the sports that you can still compete in? Because
there's
you
none.
Said golf is the number one that you can still compete in.
Yeah, where I can go out and enjoy and compete with friends, and I can do that. I can't go play pickup basketball. Three games in, I'll be done for 3 weeks.
And
physically.
And you may kill someone.
Right.
Right.
I can't play football. Ping pong, but then you need a partner.
Right.
You don't, you know,
you can just...
I don't want to Forrest Gump it all the time.
Right.
But golf, you don't really need a partner. So you're always competing against something. You're competing against the golf course. You're competing against your own score. Mm-hmm. You're competing against your own self.
Right.
So I love it. So I watch these guys and I go, man, how do I'm going to get better at my game? How do I sharpen my game? Well, you know what? Putt. Because every single one of these guys are amazing with the putter. So
they are. Yeah, they are. Yeah. They're really stinking good. I saw my first stent meter reading today. I saw it.
You were confused about that last year. Remember we were talking about you had no idea
what
the stent meter. Stimp.
What? Stimp? Like stimpy? Stent
sure.
or stimp?
It's not stent. It's stimp.
Stimp?
Yes.
Okay. I saw that.
Because I said
happen.
It was rolling at a 13 and you looked at me with this befuddled look.
I have no idea.
Like, it was a 13?
But I saw
what the hell is a 13?
I saw them doing that whole thing out here today, and basically it's like this long plastic thing. They just roll a ball down it and they get their reading on how fast the greens are.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. And it looks like the greens are playing pretty fast. I thought we had Alex Pru on last hour, a golfer. He's teeing off at 810. He bounces between the web.com. This is the final full field event of their season, and the PGA Tour. Like, he was on the PGA Tour last week in Greensboro, North Carolina. He's here on the web.com this week. I thought it was very interesting. He said, I think that this is one of the very few courses that should be and could be a PGA caliber course.
Right. It definitely, if this course, if you're looking at it, it has the shots off the tee. It has the creativity. It has the greens. Number one, though, it has the length. And that's you got to have courses that are 7,000 yards plus.
Well, yeah, they say that it's too short for the PGA Tour, though. That's always been the knock on Pumpkin Ridge. But, you know, they don't want to add another par 71.
You just contradicted what I said. I said it does have length. But there are plenty of courses. There's a pretty big course. It's the second tournament of the year. It's in Hawaii. It's a pretty short course. And it's been for years. Okay, so it's not always about length. You got to have the ability to put the ball in play off the tee.
Yeah, but that's going to be that's the tough part, man. Is getting a PGA event here would be awesome, but if you want to see the stars of tomorrow, come out here, man. This event is it's dialed in. You've been to several PGA events in your life.
Yes.
You come out here and you look at the way that the course is set up, the VIP tents, the merchandising stuff. How different is it here as opposed to if you go to a PGA?
Well, it's just on a little bit smaller scale, but everything that you're going to see at a major PGA Tour event, you're going to see here.
Bingo.
Just a little bit of a smaller scale.
Yep.
I mean, you're not going to see the huge grandstands, but you see everything laid out, corporate event tents. Everything is first class. The way it's run, the course is in great shape. The people out here, all the volunteers, people that are working the tournament, everything here is first class.
Yeah, we got, and it's cool to kind of come out here. The golfers are far more accessible than they are on the PGA Tour as well. Yes. You get closer to them than you do any of those PGA guys.
Right. You can. I mean, I think staying within the ropes seem to be like anything. I've gone to a U.S. Open. I went to the Masters this year. Being up close and personal with every golfer, you get to see them hit the ball.
Yeah.
Just that's always what I will tell you. When you don't really get the true feel of what it's like to watch these guys play until you come out and hear them hit the golf ball.
All right. We are out here. Come on out. Join us. We're having some fun talking golf and out here for the Winco Foods Portland Open. Starts today. Golfers about to tee off in 4 minutes from now. The first rounds get out and are on the course. But in the NFL, the San Diego Chargers have issued a statement regarding Joey Bosa. The number 3 overall selection in this past year's draft out of Ohio State. He and the team's contract negotiations have been ugly. They have been public. And now the Chargers are saying there is no more conversations. They released a statement yesterday saying that they have rescinded their offer for the contracts to Joey Bosa and offered this in their statement, that their offer included an initial signing bonus payment that is larger than any player in the league that has received in the last 2 drafts. More money in this calendar year than every player in this year's draft except for one, that being Carson Wentz, the number 2 overall pick. The third thing that they put out there, the largest payment in the highest percentage of a signing bonus received in the first calendar year of any Chargers first round selection since the inception of the current CBA in 2011, which then kind of put a restriction on how much money guys could make. Those 3 bullet points, they said, are the 3 things that they have given Joey Bosa that no other player has received, or very few have received, and he still isn't wanting to play ball. So they're saying, no, we're going to take our offer away.
Well, which is fine. You can do that if you're the Chargers. You can feel comfortable saying all that, too. They're doing a very good job to try to get public opinion. Nothing wrong with that, because public opinion can be very influential. You just said that they gave the highest number of money, highest if anybody drafted in the 3rd slot.
Well, they said that.
They said that. Now, let's also clarify the fact that they have offered that amount of money. It's not guaranteed. What it is the offset language. They want to be able to recoup any money or not pay out any money in that 5th-year and 4th-year option. So you could say, just like anybody sees, well, Drew Brees or anybody, I got 5 years, $400 million. I'm just throwing an arbitrary number out there. We've offered him more money than anybody. We all know, everybody understands, you never see the ends of your contracts. You never see the end of your contracts. And so this number that they're throwing out, we've offered you, the key word is offered you more. That doesn't matter. He is never going to see that money. The key is they're trying to get him to feel the pressure and say, you got to get into camp. You got to get here because this is San Diego. We need you. You're the 3rd pick. If you're going to die on this sword, like I've said that before, you need to make sure that you're standing up for what your principle is in your contract. What is the principle that he's standing for? You can't have both offset languages in this contract. One or two, you can't have both.
Right, and what the Chargers are saying is that Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Zeke Elliott, the guys surrounding you in your picks and where you were drafted, they all have both. And this is something that top 5 picks – yeah, this is kind of the norm for the top 5 picks because of the fact that it's just the way that business is done, because you're going to see the 4th and 5th years of your contract because you're a top 5 pick. They're not going to release you, and you're not going to need this money. So the Chargers are saying, hey, we plan on having you for 4 or 5 years. What this is telling us is that you don't want to be here for
But do they? If you remember, we spoke with Rand Getland last week, and I asked him specifically, what does this make you feel if you're looking from the outside in as the confidence of the Chargers and their draft picks, if they're willing to always fight for these little semantical things, because that's really always what it comes down to, is words and verbiage and also money, because we're not talking about an exorbitant amount of money in today's language. Think about it. In today's language of first-round picks, it's not even close to what it used to be, Sam Bradford, at $54 million. You don't have to deal with it. Yeah. So you're arguing for precedent. That's exactly what the Chargers are doing.
I think there's 2 things at play here. One of them is that, you know, if you're a chart, you say confidence in your draft pick. And I think that this kind of is showing that the Chargers aren't necessarily 100% confident in their pick right? Because of the fact that I think the other thing at play is that Joey Bosa doesn't want to be a San Diego Charger. Whether it's what his mom said on Facebook about a month ago, saying that we should have pulled an Eli Manning and never gone to San Diego, right? Like that, they're probably feeling that, like, okay, we drafted a guy that we knew didn't really want to be here in the first place, and so we think he's going to walk, so we really need this offset language so we have our butts covered in case he's a flame-out bust or he ditches us and doesn't want to be here and we're left hanging. And then you have the fact that Bosa just doesn't want to be there.
Do we really know for sure? I know when a mom says it, and I know it could be part of negotiation tactics. Look, there's always ways to gain leverage. For me, I do believe that we're not hearing the full story about even after the draft pick or during the time or some of the conversations that are made, because you're going all the way back to the combine where Joey Bosa ran a 4.8 and everyone said he's slow, he's not that. And then what did San Diego do? They immediately draft him at 3. Bosa's probably like, wow, I didn't think I was going to go this high, so I'm going to squeeze these guys for everything they got. And then San Diego comes back. We drafted you pretty high, so you need to do us a solid and give us here, because nobody saw you going this high. I feel like there's something there where they're trying to use that scapegoat to say, you didn't deserve to go in the top 5 or the top 10.
Yeah.
We're doing you something. You got to give us something.
Yeah. And here, we just read you the Chargers statement about why they feel he should sign. Bosa's camp followed up that statement with one of their own that said, it's unfortunate the San Diego Chargers have decided to manipulate facts and negotiate in the media. The team surely is not strengthening their relationship with Joey Bosa by taking this stance and making their position public. We have decided that we will not engage in public negotiations or discuss numbers and or terms in this negotiation in the public. They went on to add, it is ironic that the team now takes issue with the timing of Joey Bosa's arrival, since the Chargers unilaterally decided to remain silent for the first 14 days of training camp instead of replying in a timely fashion to the proposal that we made on the eve of training camp on July 28th. So
I agree completely with that statement, everything about that statement. We've got so many fights publicly now over contracts, which is sickening. Nobody wants to hear this crap.
But they went on to add that it's ironic that the team they made it public. Like,
no. Now it's a hissy fit.
They
dropped. That's exactly what we got now.
We're not going to make this public.
But
here's, we're going to make it public right now. Right?
No. Now it's just a one-upsmanship.
Right. Yeah.
It is. Now it's just, if you were going to take always this stance where everything about the NFL's got to be public, well, nobody's surprised.
You think that Joey Bosa ever plays for the Chargers?
Honestly?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I have the confidence in it. I think that when it does come down to it, you're only drafted in the first round once. If Joey Bosa enters and sits out, he's not getting picked 3 overall, so he's going to hurt himself in the end. If you want to fight over this small amount of language, realize you could be giving up a couple $1 million. And that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. No matter who you are, no matter what you say, if Joey Bosa goes back in the draft, he's not going to make it as the number 3 overall pick.
Okay, what happens to that pick then for the Chargers if they are unable to sign him? Do they get the number 3? Because I know, like, in Major League Baseball draft, like,
that's an excellent question. I don't know that offhand.
You get like that same pick the next year?
I don't think so. I think that's part of. I don't think the NFL rewards you by saying you guys can't get crap done.
You use it or lose it.
It's like the same philosophy as, hey, when the clock strikes 5 minutes and you haven't made your pick, guess who can pick now? The team behind. So, you know, make your pick.
Wow. That would just be another,
it'd
like
be a San Diego thing to do.
Notch in the belt that is the we screw everything up belt for that span of time.
Yeah, and by the way, you're trying to get a new stadium in your city. You're trying to make everybody excited about your team. Yeah, good luck.
Feedback at 55305. You with the Chargers, you with Bosa in this situation, because there is a side to both of these conversations. We'll get your feedback next. Dusty and Cam on 1080 The Fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
All righty, here we go. text at 55305. Joey Bosa and the San Diego Chargers are at odds. It appears that the Chargers have taken away their offer to Bosa, which is, it's all slotted in. Like, the 2011 collective bargaining agreement was set to do two things. It was supposed to make sure that draft picks and first round draft picks weren't getting paid more than established 6-year veterans in the league. And the other one, it was supposed to make it so every single team had a great opportunity to sign their draft picks with every draft pick slot is slotted in assigned a value. Mm-hmm. They still can't sign Joey Bosa.
Yeah, that's what is amazing about this is the NFL decided to make sure we don't want to go through these problems anymore. Right. Now that the CBA is in place, we need to make sure everybody's in camp. Now, this texter says, coming in at 55305, I understand protecting yourself, but he's never played a down in the NFL, holding your employer to the fire before you've started working. #, but I'm going to hashtag him, entitled.
Yeah.
Think about the difference in it, and here's the hardest thing, too, for everybody out there to understand, and maybe not, maybe I'm just, because I've lived it, is you do realize if you're a football player, you're one play away from never seeing the field again, correct? Joey Bosa's one injury away. Yep. You're one hit away. You do realize that in if you're comparing a real job or anybody else out there, that you can probably work injured, or you can get things that are, if you're dependent on your body at all times and your health, you do know that most guys don't see a contract or a second contract. The average career is 3.5 years. You do know that I got to get everything I can as fast as I can. We are taught that from the day you walk into the combine, when the day you meet with your agent says, my job is to get as much money possible for you as fast as you can. Because if I don't, I'm doing you a disservice, because realize that you may think that you're going to play in this league forever. You're not, and it's going to be gone.
But the reality is that top five picks overwhelmingly do see those second contracts. And, you know, I mean, we say this about, or I mean, we just had this conversation the other day about either playing football or not playing football. Are you going to play the game in fear then in this? And I think that's what the Chargers are saying, is that, like, look, this is just to cover our butt in case you try and burn us and you walk away. And
But if you get a guy for 4 years, considering the way it used to be, you had 3 years and then you would tender guys, mm-hmm. at least in that time. That was the previous contract, so you would get the tender amount. So it would either be the second round tender. If I was the 40th pick overall, I got tendered in my third year, in my fourth year, which meant I was giving a small tender amount based on what the second round. It doesn't matter if you were the 33rd pick or if you were the 65th pick, you were given a tendered amount. Now it's not about that. It's about these guys have an option. They're willing to take it. And does the team really need to protect itself in that fourth year? You get a guy for 4 years, you feel like you're stealing.
Yeah.
You really are.
That's the thing that Chargers are going, well, look, we've got Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Zeke Elliott. They all had this double offset language. Mm-hmm. This is the same thing, which, by the way, Marcus Mariota had issue with the Tennessee Titans last year on the same deal.
Absolutely.
It was offset language. And the big difference here is that the Tennessee Titans said, hey, man, we're using you as a number two pick. We trust you. We will. We're going to just get rid of it, and you're going to be that. You're going to be our guy. And we'll take it. I think they got one of the two that they wanted in there, and they backed down. San Diego has a history of being terrible negotiators with mm-hmm. their players. Mm-hmm. And this is just another thing in the line of the Spanos family can't get out of their own way, knowing that this is something that's going to make it so you lose that pick. And the only time, or we've seen this two other times, I think with Elway and Bo Jackson.
Yep.
But when Bo Jackson, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers drafted Bo Jackson in 1986, he said, you can draft me. I'm not playing for you. Guess what they didn't get the next year? They didn't get two first-round picks. They still only got their one first-round pick.
Well, there's so many things that are just need to go right now for everybody, because there's going to be tension. There's going to be irritation. until this deal gets done. There's going to be speculation. As a former player, I'm always going to look at the player side because I've been in that in that seat. I can't look at the owner side because I'm not a billionaire. So I don't understand what it does come down to. If you want to set precedent, you want to look at both guys on either side and say you're not doing the right thing based on what your other brethren are doing. They're signing. They're giving us that. I don't think. I think you hit the nail on the head. I don't think Joey Bosa is really excited about being part of the Chargers franchise. I think this is a way to say that if you're going to bring me here and I don't really want to be here, you guys have to prove to me. You have to do something for me.
Yeah. Text 55305, if the Chargers give in other players in the future, will try and do what he's doing, and the rest of the league will hate them for opening a door for it. Yeah, how much you think is that the Chargers don't want precedent to be set? Even though I think that we just discussed this, the Titans, they gave in last year. I mean, it's kind of normal for teams to give in on this sort of thing, right?
Well, that's my biggest key here when I'm looking at why this isn't working. How come the Chargers are not giving in? What is the downside by actually doing that? Because if it's financial or if it's precedent, whatever you want to call it, I'm immediately reading it as we don't feel that confident in our pick. That's the first thing I thought of when I see this.
I totally do. I agree with that, and I also think that this is just another case of them being bad at NFL business. Mm-hmm. Like, the Spanos family, obviously, they do things right in other business worlds, but their tactics don't work, and they haven't worked time and time and time again. So I'm not just sure where all this ends. I think it ends with Joey Bosa just never playing again. 55305, I understand protecting yourself, but we already read that one. Maybe with all this drama down in San Diego, Brady Hoke can recruit the unheralded transfer Bowie Josa to come play Ducks for the Ducks this year. There's always that, right? Huh?
Sure.
Go back to – no, wait.
Can you get your eligibility?
What does he do? What does he do if he doesn't play this year?
He can sit out of the year and re-enter the draft. He can stay healthy. Look, he can definitely be healthy. He can train. You could do everything you can to stay active. I mean, he's still young. It's not like he is going to lose his ability. What he's going to do is just have a year of rest. He's going to have a sabbatical what he's going
to
have.
They call it the high school kids that take a year off before they go to college, they call it the gap year. This is Joey Bosa's gap year, huh? He'll go find himself. Maybe he'll go backpacking around Europe.
go get yourself right. This texter says, so much for playing because you love the game. You know... How many times do we say it's a business? Does anybody think that you have a business surrounded by a game, or is it a game with a business? Think about that. What is it first?
Huh.
How many times do we say it's a game that a bunch of people made a business?
You know, I think that is the biggest question in the NFL, because I think that you look at a majority of the teams say it's a business that's a game. Meanwhile, I think that some of the best run franchises view it as it's a game that's a business.
Correct. And you can see the difference between a franchise that is committed to saying this is the game, but we have our business practices.
Seattle, Arizona, with Bruce Arians and kind of coming in and changing that culture there. Mm-hmm. You see it in Oakland right now. New England, Green Bay has this kind of deal, right? Where they view it as the game that is a business that makes them hundreds upon hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars every year. Whereas San Diego's run into this with their stadium negotiations. They've run into it with several players. They've run into it with their front office, and goodness gracious, their head coaches too. Mm-hmm. I mean, this has been bad, from start to finish. And I don't think Joey Bosa necessarily looks good in it either, which is a reality.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and say either one is in the wrong. What I do think is that the system, whatever we are, whatever we're seeing between these two guys, the system isn't perfect. Somebody's going to cave. The key question is, who's going to be the one that blinks first? Is it going to be the Chargers or is it Joey Bosa? I think the Chargers do realize that they control and they have the most power. Right. And eventually the player's a young kid that wants money. And the Chargers are like, well, great. Mm-hmm. We're billionaires. We don't care.
Yeah. This is good text right here. People need to remember us regular folk get to choose where we work a lot of the time. NFL rookies, they don't. They don't.
That's a great point.
There's no such thing
as a draft out of college for doctors. Is there a draft?
Sure.
Or lawyers or anybody that's working, not just doctors and lawyers, anybody that's in the free agent market. Yeah. Don't you think when you're done with college and you get your degree, you're an immediate free agent and you wouldn't try to negotiate if you're a commodity?
I've tried.
Because that's what you are.
I tried to.
Don't you try to negotiate when you win your job?
Yeah. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers draft didn't go as well as they thought it did either. They've got a case of the yips there, and maybe they should go out and hire UCLA's newest assistant coach. We'll have that story coming to you next. Here's Crawford with SportsCenter.
Live from Pumpkin Ridge in the 2016 Winco Foods Portland Open, this is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
Hi, welcome in to Dusty and Cam in the Morning, coming to you live from the Winco Foods Portland Open at Pumpkin Ridge.
Here at the practice screen, we're seeing a lot of the guys that are getting their strokes in.
Wait, what? TV guys hated me for a minute because I was standing up because it has gotten colder since we've gotten here.
You're not a guy that likes to be cold.
I hate being cold. This was the worst thing. I'm
going
to
stay in this voice for the rest of the segment.
I complained to my wife because I was like, how do I dress for tomorrow?
You're wearing shorts.
Yeah, but I'm wearing a long sleeve shirt because I looked on my phone and said it's going to be like 50 degrees at 5 in the morning when we get here.
The giant peanut is here.
And then by 9 o'clock, when our show's done, it's supposed to be near 80 out here. And I was like, that's 30. That's 10 degrees every hour. It's supposed to go up in temperature.
It's kind of like the desert. You know the desert? You could just, it can get 110, but at night it's dropping all the way down to 40.
Yeah,
it's not the desert here. But it's still, you're not the guy that wants to be around cold.
Uh-uh. I hate being cold.
You have
cold.
A fear of cold, don't you?
It's not
you
a fear.
You can't live in fear, Dusty.
It's not a fear.
It's a fear of cold.
No, it's a hatred.
Okay, it's a hatred.
It's a hatred. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they've got a problem. They used a second-round draft pick that everybody laughed at on Roberto Aguayo, who is a kicker from Florida State. Now, Aguayo was just lights out at Florida State.
So what changed?
I think pressure. I think he's got a case of the kicker yips because, according to multiple reports, the other day after missing twice in their last preseason game, fans started booing him at practice after he shanked. And one of the reporters for the Buccaneers said it was one of the worst shanks he's ever seen from a kicker and then missed the next one right after
that.
What
do you think a kicker shank is? Is it to the right or is it a pole?
They said it was to the right.
Oh, yeah. That one is the shank. The classic one, too, the pole is the top spinner that pulls left.
Yeah.
It looks like it's spinning like a top, doesn't go end over end.
Think of it in golf terms. That's your duck hook,
it's
right?
It's your duck hook.
That's your pulling left. But your shankopotamus for a kicker is just like a slice. You know, it goes right. And he's got a case of the shanks. Do you think that this is solely based on the fact he was a second-round pick and there's pressure on him?
No, I think absolutely it is. I mean, the kickers, your job is to score points and be consistent and have confidence. Once your confidence gets derailed or you do anything that causes your confidence to be shaky, do you know what you're doing when you're sitting there as a kicker? I don't know that pressure. I as a player, you can be able to react to it. I have 7 seconds, make a decision, I drop a ball.
Mm-hmm.
And back to the huddle. I don't have time to sit there and think about it. You miss a kick, you can have a year to think about it.
Yeah.
You can have a quarter to think about it. And it just sits there. And you just lament. And you're just, oh, don't do this, don't do this. It's hard not to be positive.
There's some guys that they miss their game winner opportunity. And they don't get that chance to get it back.
Who's Minnesota's kicker?
Blair Walsh.
So Blair Walsh sits all year. Misses that, 27-yarder versus the Seahawks in the playoffs and then comes to the preseason and misses his first one.
Yeah.
So, yes, nobody wants to be a kicker. I don't want that job. I still say that kickers are the necessary evil part of the league. They're definitely critical for football.
Yeah.
But it's not something I want to live and die by is the health and the mental strength of the kicker.
Well, they are going to be living and dying by just that. They lost one game last year by a field goal, but the common thing is why they took a kicker is because they missed. They had several opportunities and they had so many misses last year.
Yeah.
He probably needs to see like a sports psychologist, right?
I have no idea. I don't. I mean, if you just got to kick your way out of it, don't you think? I mean, if you have fans breathing down you. And looking at you and booing you.
Apparently.
You know what he should just do? He should flip side it. He should do the Martin Gramatica, put two birds up, go do a celebration, just say, forget all you people.
Blow
I could care
ACL.
Less. And, go, and you know, no, just go. Oh. Yeah. No, that was the other brother. That was the other. That was the Arizona left footer.
Right.
Martin was the right footer.
Okay. Martin. Yeah, I know. There's like three
there's
of them.
There's two
right?
of them. There was two of them at the time. But yeah. the Arizona one blew his ACL in the celebration. But he should just like, I don't care. Don't go into the side of protecting yourself. Just say, you know what? I'm a kicker. Forget it.
Mm-hmm.
Forget it. Sebastian Janikowski.
Text, sounds like they need to call the garbage picking, field goal kicking Philadelphia phenomenon. Tony Danza. That is true. Do you remember that show? That came out while you were still playing in the NFL.
Which one was that?
Disney had a made-for-TV movie called the garbage kicking field goal kicking Philadelphia phenomenon.
Oh, I never saw that.
Starring Tony Danza, who is a garbage man who'd kick garbage, and the Eagles signed him.
You're joking right now.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. That's a real thing.
Tony Danza from Who's the Boss?
Yeah, that same Tony Danza. Who's the Boss? And from go-kart racing fame, that Tony Danza is the star of that movie.
Dang.
Maybe they
should. What was the girl's name that was in Who's the Boss again?
Samantha.
Yeah, but what's her
That
oh, I had a picture of her.
What?
I had a picture of her in my room.
Alyssa Milano.
Thank you. For God's sakes, I should know Alyssa Milano.
Yeah, you should.
Sheesh.
But the other thing that the Buccaneers should do, instead of calling the garbage kicking field goal or garbage picking field goal kicking Philadelphia phenomenon, they should call Jim Mora at UCLA. Have you seen what the Bruins are doing
yeah,
this year?
I think the Bruins are on the right track, said nobody.
The Bruins, UCLA is not just known for major injuries derailing their season.
Yeah.
They are known for colossal mental meltdowns over the course of a football season.
They've had their struggles. They've had their struggles in the fourth quarter, but that could be to inexperience, like you said, when you lose veteran, seasoned leaders, and you have a freshman quarterback last year. They didn't win some of those close games.
Well,
including a bowl game against Nebraska.
Jim Mora's response to that is to hire a mental conditioning coach,
okay.
Which is something that I have no idea what a mental conditioning coach does, but
yeah, you do. He's a motivational speaker. He's motivational.
Is that
keeping a positive? It's Tony Robbins. That's who they called. I think would be great because I think Tony Robbins is cool.
What?
And he'd be a great football player because he's a really big man.
Despite the fact that I think, what was it, 25 people had to go to the hospital walking over coals at a Tony Robbins show in Dallas?
It's your fault. You're an idiot.
Walk faster.
Last time I checked, walk faster.
Don't try and take a selfie as you're walking over hot coals and maybe you won't burn your feet.
No, but a mental conditioning coach, what do you think that is? They're trying to get these guys to have different mindsets. When the pressure comes, when the time in the fourth quarter, when you get into the fourth quarter, a lot of guys that don't know how to win, okay, it is a mindset, it's a belief. When you get into that fourth quarter and the game is close, how many times have you seen a player that will either cower or that mindset will start to say, oh gosh, don't screw it up?
Uh-huh.
It is. Your mind's the most powerful thing you have. I mean, there are many times where you say, oh, especially on the golf course, you watch a lot of these guys don't hit it left and they hit it left. Don't hit it right. Don't hit it right. You need to tell yourself as positive thoughts. And I can get what Coach Mora wants to do. He wants to get his guys out of the mindset. Number one, when he showed up at UCLA, we're not soft. Okay, powder blue is not soft. So he's tried to change that culture. Now he's trying to get guys to believe in how to finish because these guys are the recruits.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Mora, he's the first guy to tell you he can be a little bit off his rocker. Okay, and he can be very volatile emotionally. Absolutely he is. And so he needs to understand maybe this is not only for him because he realizes that his team takes on the head coach personality. So this is for him and everybody to try to get better mentally, get tougher mentally, be more confident when the fourth quarter shows up.
Can't this be like if you have those guys that are kind of prone for meltdowns though? Isn't this something that kind of highlights the fact that they're not mentally strong though and some of those guys could this be something that actually comes and they start thinking about it more and the meltdown becomes more prominent?
Yeah, it could be, but you got to think these are 18 to 22 year olds.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of guys that have huge, huge confidence coming in. They don't. It's something you have to learn. And it's also tradition. When I showed up at my school at University of Washington, we were there. We were one of the best teams in the country. So there was an expectation immediately when you walked into that facility, in that stadium, that you were going to be in every game and you should win every game. It was something that was just there. You kind of felt the aura. Now, obviously, things have changed. Oregon has that mantra now. They know that they're going to be in every game no matter what.
Yeah.
they feel, you can just see it. The fans know it. The people around it. The program know it. The media know it. There's that aura around it. UCLA is hovering on that line of, we should be better because every year we're ranked in the top 10 or in the top 15 and they give us all this credit, but we can't close.
Yep.
So they're trying to get over that proverbial hump.
And this is a brilliant move by him because I think acknowledging the biggest fault that they had is number one because it's noticeable to every other person. Is seemingly, except for UCLA, because this isn't just Jim Mora. I mean, this goes back to Neuheisel, right? I mean, they had these meltdowns when Neuheisel was there, and they still have them now.
I mean, even Terry Donahue had it in his tenure. I mean, UCLA was always considered a team of great, great guys. Boy, these guys are just amazing athletes, but couldn't close.
Yeah.
They'd have a few good runs, but like anything, you're trying to change the culture of LA. I mean, how is it hard to get guys to be tough in LA when it comes to football?
It's beautiful
every day. The people are beautiful. It's sunny. The campus. Can you imagine walking around at UCLA every single day and going, how can you be angry at anything at UCLA?
Miami found a way to do it.
Yeah.
Right? With the U?
Yeah, but it's muggy there. Muggy.
So you're saying the lack of humidity is really holding
humidity changes your
it's
whole
holding UCLA down.
Yes.
It didn't hold USC down when under Pete Carroll though. And that lack of humidity. This is a text that I think we can put a bow on this one. Nothing gets my blood boiling like talking about UCLA's potential that it never lives up to. The UCLA program is the definition of 7-9 BS, which has become the mantra of the show.
Very good.
You know what isn't 7-9 BS? People getting all sorts of fired up about a new locker room in Corvallis, huh?
Wow.
Dustin Cam, I'm a fan.
Live from Pumpkin Ridge in the 2016 Winco Foods Portland Open, this is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan. There's a port
on a western. Welcome back.
Man, we are back. At Pumpkin Ridge Golf Course. That is a big peanut. I did not really realize what you were talking about.
I thought you were going to say something else.
Like, Planters Peanuts has countered the Wienermobile.
It is a classic. I think that's an old Winnie.
I think that is a Winnebago.
It's an old Winnie that they dressed up in a huge, huge peanut.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They got...
I wonder if it's salty.
I don't... Go lick it. See what it tastes like.
Peanut.
We are out at the Winco Foods Portland Open out at Pumpkin Ridge. They're playing the Witch Hollow course. Great opportunity for people to come out and not just see some of the best young golfers in the world and guys that will be on the tour very soon, but check out the Witch Hollow side of Pumpkin Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the private side.
Have you played both sides?
No.
Have you had the luxury to play either side, Ghost
yeah,
or Witch?
Yeah, Ghost. I've played Ghost.
Oh.
Yeah, I've played Ghost. But
I find myself, I've been lucky enough to play both sides, and they are two different style of courses. They're both fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ghost is a little more friendly off the tee, but Witch is just, it's a beautiful private side. The greens are gorgeous. And there are times, too, because we've had, I think everyone remembers the classic Tiger Woods.
Uh-huh.
When he won the U.S. Amateur here, 93? Gosh, I should know that. Yes, 95.
Yeah.
And you go back to some of the spots, and I actually remember every spot where he hit, and you look at some of the size of the clubs that he was using and what they use now and how far he was hitting the golf ball.
96 U.S. Amateur.
Oh, gosh. Boy. Swenson, mm-hmm. Swanson, Samson. That was way off.
Samps.
Way off.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's his key. He should go back to swinging bricks.
It wasn't bricks. Those things were the size of a thumbtack. The club heads.
Were they?
They were tiny.
Oh, well, go back to those. Why doesn't he do that?
I don't know. He's a free agent.
Yeah, Nike's
did you know
not
that?
Making clubs anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Free agent. A lot of the Nike golfers, they're all free agents. They're all looking around going, what am I going to play now?
Yeah. This is fun, though. Witch Hollow is very cool. We walked it last year, and it's completely different. It's the side of the course that you really don't get to see very often. And what's at stake is 25 golden tickets to the PGA Tour. They get to member
Does Willy Wonka come out and offer you the golden ticket at the end?
Yes, they do.
Is it in a Wonka bar?
Uh-huh, yeah.
So at the end of the round, if you finish in the top 25, you get a Wonka bar
yes.
with your golden ticket.
And one thing is that it's Johnny Depp as Wonka.
Good. The fingerless?
Uh-huh.
Does he have all his fingers?
Do you actually get a card when you go on the PGA Tour?
Well, why would they call it a card then? Of course you get a card.
Well, like, what does
it do? I have my Players Association card.
Are you like, hi?
And I do.
And that's how you get in?
I do. I will prove it to you.
Okay. But no, when you go to a PGA, like, what does your card do for you?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
Okay. But you
still
get one?
I'm taking time out. Look. Oh, that's not it either.
What are you
doing? We're on radio. Yeah. It doesn't really matter.
We're
does
on
it?
TV too. On
oh, we're
CSN.
On TV. Look, there's a real card that says I was a former player.
Oh, look at that!
Look and
at
it
that.
Does nothing. TV. See, look that. See, there's a card that actually says that, and it looks really good, and it's a player card. But, and then I have my alumni card too.
Why do you
see my alumni card?
What
this got me into a
you?
Special hospitality tent at the Masters.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah, I got free drink and food because I had an alumni card.
Oh, so that's
yes,
what it
so
does.
I think when you're on the PGA, you get a card like this that says, I'm a PGA player.
And when you get pulled over, you just start like...
It's the first thing I show, and someone laughs at that and goes, did you get that in a Cracker Jack box? And then I take it away.
See, you get pulled over, and you just start spilling out those cards. Oh,
sorry.
Here's my driver's license.
I didn't know that NFL Shield card. That's not license. Getting me anywhere. Sorry.
Here's my rookie card. It's signed. But I don't know if you know this, but on an elementary school playground, you can get a Damian Lillard rookie.
I do get
signed.
I do get 20% off of Avis, so there's that.
Oh, not the official rental car of the NFL, but
and
it's Players Association
and Enterprise.
Oh, wow!
See, it was a humble brag.
Look at that.
Because I'm a traveler. Huh. I don't travel.
Really?
I don't. This was a long commute for me this morning.
Didn't.
49 minutes.
Didn't OJ hawk Hurts for a minute?
No. Was he? Was it OJ? Was it Hurts? Was he? Yes, he was hurdling things.
Well, no, that was another one. But he did Hurts commercials too. I remember watching in the OJ 30 for 30. Oh goodness.
Sorry.
Oh, look at this.
But we were talking about cards.
Yeah. What's in your wallet? Let's play that new fun game, huh?
Hey, we're on TV too.
Yeah.
Let me describe it. What's in your wallet?
Did you see any of the photos of Oregon State's new locker room yesterday? Or the Beavs, the first installment of their new facilities were unveiled yesterday.
Oh.
Did you see any of those pictures?
No, I didn't get to see any of the pictures.
The kids are doing backflips over it, and they should be. It's pretty sweet.
I bet it's pretty sweet. I bet there's – let me go out on a limb and say there's an outlet in every –
Yeah, and
I mean, because I think about that, just having an outlet in your locker.
I think if like the new lockers, they have like doors that you push in, they pop right open.
Oh, soft closing also.
Yeah,
soft close.
If you took like Vince Lombardi into a locker room these days, I don't know if he could figure it out. Like he'd be like, "Wow, what's going on here?
What are these guys doing?
All these light up, like all the nameplates like light up, and they've got cool logos on them.
The nameplates light up.
Well, they have like a backlight behind.
Oh, they have an LED backlit,
And then they're like have air conditioning for your shoulder pads, so they don't stink.
Holy smokes! Do you remember the drying room? Did you guys have a drying room at Southern?
Are you kidding me?
We had a drying room.
Dude.
So there was a
We're
guy.
We're lucky we had a locker room.
Let me just tell you, there was a guy, and he lives here in Portland. I don't want to call him out. He's a former teammate of mine. The three brothers all played for the Huskies.
Do it. All right.
He,
Googling
great
that right
guy,
now.
Great guy. Man, he was a good dude. He was in my class. But holy smokes, he was the stinkiest dude I've ever seen. I've ever smelled. He would never, ever clean his pads. His pads smelled like death. If that's what death smelled like, I think I would go through the other door because it was just nasty. So when you tell me about drying spots or they have air conditioners for your pads so they get clean, I'm sold. That's enough. Give me an outlet. Give me something to make my pads clean. That's right. All I need to know.
Yeah, the smell of a locker room in, I'll say November, when the rains and the sweat start.
Oh.
It is the worst smelling place ever.
You know what the worst? Yeah, the football locker room of any sport is the stinkiest locker room. Stinkiest.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know what? I'm not a hockey guy, so I got to think that hockey's right there with it. Hockey might take the cake because...
I had a buddy who had...
bad hockey gear.
He was a hockey player.
Yeah, I think hockey might trump us.
We would play the first versions of... NCAA football when we were kids, mm-hmm. and if you lost, like the bet was to like take a huff of his hockey pads. Like that was the bet. It was like you had to
You
smell.
Were doing whippets with hockey gear?
Dude, it was like that was like What's the worst thing ever, and it smelled horrendous.
Probably. I'm going to guess hockey might take a cake, but give me some of the features that Oregon State has in their new locker room.
Well, I will give you some of those next because we are way over plus.
Oh, okay.
Another prominent player calls out Roger Goodell, and this is a person that we wouldn't expect. You actually could expect it from a guy like Aaron Rodgers. I didn't expect it from this guy, Dustin Cam on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.